Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Privilege me to share the word this evening. They had a concert here in the hall a couple of weeks now. There's lots of glitter around. I saw some of it on my face earlier. I'm like, where is this coming from? Because it's actually, you know, having daughters is an incredible blessing, but are some hazards. And that's one of them. Sometimes there's this random glitter that appears on me, and it's just not manly. It's just not. I don't even know how to explain. And people just look at me funny. There's glitter on my face. In any case, so if you do see something shining, it's the glory of the Lord. You know, it's the presence. My eldest Abigail, she's been keen for a while, but this morning she was baptized. And we're really excited about that. Praise God. She was very keen to be baptized, but she, like I mentioned, she wasn't so keen about all the people, but it seemed like there weren't that many. So she was okay with that. So praise God. Emily, this 2-year-old child, she turned 2 weeks ago. And she also said she wants to also swim like that with the hair in the water. You know, she's always aware of the hair and what she's wearing and stuff like that. She's really funny. In any case, but she's properly 2 now, so yeah, if you want to come visit, it's interesting times at our house. If you want to postpone having children in your life for a while, just come and visit. We'll leave you with her for a couple of hours, and you'll be delivered. No, I'm just kidding. She's amazing. okay. Hallelujah. This evening, I'm not going to do exactly what we did this morning. We had a family service, which was a lot of fun. If you weren't here, you missed out. I'm just going to touch on 1 or 2 things around that. But I want us to look at something that we see a lot of in Scripture. If we look at I love the letters the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy and to a whole bunch of other guys, but specifically Timothy. Timothy being a younger man in the faith, in ministry, and Paul writing to him and imparting to him. And it's incredible to see all the stuff that he's trying to impart and trying to communicate to him. And a month or so ago, I was listening to a pastor, and he said, you know, if he had to, in a similar way, impart two keys to somebody that's, you know, younger or somebody that's growing up in the faith and the ministry, he said there was 2 things that he would share. I want to just also touch on those 2 this evening. And what he said is, he said, number one, for a moment, is it a frog or is it an alarm? In any case, but we won't worry about that. He said, number one, keep your faith wild. So I'll explain that a little bit later. Keep your faith wild. And number 2, he says, invest in the young. Invest in the next generation. And there's a lot to say around this. But I want to start with the first bit there. So let's read from 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 11. Focus. Okay, yeah. 1 Timothy chapter 6, from verse 11. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Now, I don't know about you, but there's, I think there's times when we more drift down the river of the river of faith. Isn't it like chilling, cruising? We're more cruising the cruise of faith. Don't you feel that sometimes? Like, not anybody here this evening, but fighting. Have you ever seen somebody that's fighting for their life? I don't think it's something we see often. You know, sometimes when you give somebody a fright or you wake somebody up in the middle of the night and they for a moment think they're being attacked. Have you seen that? There's something wild in their eyes. You know, there's adrenaline that comes in. And they do stuff and they respond. And it's funny, but you can imagine what would somebody look like if they're fighting for their life. If they believe with all their heart that unless they do everything they can right now to stay alive, they're going to die. There's a desperation there. Not only a desperation, there's a will to live, and there's a wildness that comes into our eyes and into our actions. Amen? And if that's what I'm thinking of here when he says, fight the good fight of man. Is it something that we are we just cruising? Are we taking the path of least resistance? Are we just ticking over? Or are we fighting? So he's saying, how do we keep that wildness to our faith, that passion, that thing that pushes the boundaries, that thing that does what needs to be done because it's urgent? And how do we keep that wildness? So what are the things that dull the wildness of our faith? One of the things that he mentioned that I want to also touch on, he said that pain does that. When we encounter various things that cause us pain, disappointment, pain in various ways, offense, those are the kind of things that could dull our faith, that wildness of our faith. You know, if you think of some of us have stories of when we were just saved, I've got a couple, you know, where the zeal, it was unbelievable. You know, when we were so overwhelmed by the grace of God in our lives. We were so passionate for the gospel. You know, we would do anything, even the craziest things, if we believed this is what God was saying. I remember sharing the gospel on the most inappropriate moments, in the most inappropriate ways, with zeal and passion. And offending a lot of people, amazing, praise the Lord. I believe some of those seeds, good seeds at least, still were sown. But not being afraid, there was a zeal there and passion. How do we keep that? So, and we look at Timothy, when Paul writes to him a bit later on, he actually addresses this very thing. And he mentions in 2 Timothy chapter 5, he mentions two things that the kind of key things that he gives, and he's kind of, by this chapter he's almost kind of ending off, he's nearing the end of his letters to Timothy, and then he says these two things in chapter 5. I said verse 5 there, I think it's verse 4. Yeah, I think it's 4. It might be 4 verse 5. Sorry, guys. It's one of those two. All right, so he says here, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. He says two things there. He says you need to learn to handle pain and suffering and hardship. Endure afflictions. He says, listen, if I can give you, he's given them a lot of advice, but he's kind of ending off and he's saying, endure afflictions. In other words, he's saying, listen, Timothy, this is part of the deal. This is part of being a Christian. This is part of being in ministry. You will have to endure some affliction. You're going to have to learn how to deal with pain and affliction and trials in a meaningful way. You guys, I've had the incredible privilege of being in ministry for almost 11 years and being saved. Oh, I have to calculate calculations. 25 years or so, and this is the truth. This is not plain sailing, guys. There's some hard things that we have to work through. We get hurt. Sometimes it's not easy. A lot of the times it's not easy. And therefore Paul writes to Timothy, Timothy, if you want to run this race to the end, if you want to fulfill your ministry, you need to learn how to endure affliction. This is not a whoop whoop message, it seems. You know, this. We need to learn how can we deal with pain and affliction in a meaningful way that will not have us run away from God, but have us draw close to Him. How can we deal with painful experiences and offenses and challenges in our walk in a way that would make us more like Christ? Because that is the purpose. For us to draw near to Him and to become more like Him. Now in life, there's some areas where, you know, especially if you look at stuff like endurance sports. I've heard it a few times that people say, talent, yes, talent is important. But when it comes to endurance, it's got a lot to do with how much pain can you endure. Who can go the longest? Who can endure the pain for the longest? That's the guy that's probably going to end up at the top. And the privilege of doing 2 mountain bike stage races recently, I can confirm this. That yes, there's times that you're thinking, this is not fun right now. Why do we pay a lot of money? Although I was blessed, so I didn't have to pay myself. But a lot of people pay a lot of money to suffer for a long time. But in any case, it's actually such a privilege and such a joy. The one day, the last one we did in the Cape, the second day was really tough. And there were some moments there that I was like, you know, why do we do this to ourselves? But we did end up coming 5th in our category. Yeah. Surprisingly. This is a very special category. It's called the whale category. It's for when you and your partner weigh more than 180 kilograms together. Don't laugh. Okay. Yes, we made it into that category, and we... There were not only 5 teams in that category, I just want to say. We were a whole bunch of teams. In any case, we suffered most days. We enjoyed ourselves for about 3.5 to 4.5 hours. Some of those guys went 8.5 hours. And when it's nearing 40 degrees and the hills are steep, that's quite rough. But in any case. So there's times where we accept the fact that there's certain things where you have to endure pain. But in life, in the faith, it's like that. We need to learn to endure. We need to learn to tap into Christ. We need to learn to deal with these things in a meaningful way. And guys, if this is something where you feel you have had haven't had lots of experience with, or you maybe feel there's something that's happened in your life where you maybe didn't do so well, got good news that you will have some more opportunity to to deal and to learn to endure affliction. So he says, endure afflictions, learn to deal with it in a meaningful way. Learn to draw near to Christ. Learn to grab a hold of the new mercies that he has for us every day. Amen. New mercies every morning. Learn to engage with Christ, engage with Holy Spirit, and not run away, not isolate ourselves. We tend to do that when things get tough. We tend to want to hide somewhere, and hibernate, or lick our wounds, type of thing. That's the worst thing. And that's the time when we need to draw near. Not only to Christ, not only to God, but also to one another. Amen. Make sure we get around to church and small group and all the places where we receive our support and our encouragement. Learn to endure affliction. Then secondly, he says here, do the work of an evangelist. I find this fascinating, but I can really agree with Paul here that if you want to keep your faith wild, don't lose sight of it. heart of God for the lost. If you want to keep your faith wild, if you want to be on the edge, if you want to be constantly pushing the limits and pushing the envelope in terms of what is possible through Christ, do the work of an evangelist. I've met with incredible people, incredible men and women of God. I'm thinking of one specifically, a family member. And every time we met with them, that's an uncle of ours, he would share incredible things with us. You know, saved, spirit-filled, amazing people. But he would every time have these incredible new things to share. New things that I've never heard of. Never seen in scripture. The one time he told us about this new doctrine that it's possible for us to, based on the scripture that Paul writes about, it's a man that went into the third heaven, about these people that go into the heavens, have an experience with God, and there's this incredible library, and they can go into the library, and then you can receive all these teachings there. And it sounds amazing. But in the back of my mind, the whole time I wanted to ask him, how many people have you seen saved in the last year? And I'm telling myself as well, yeah, guys, but I'm afraid that there's a dynamic where we get so airy-fairy, we get so deep, and that we're more spiritual than Jesus. And we lose heart of the nuts and bolts of the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. So I want to say, and I have experiences in my life, I need to be doing the work of an evangelist. It keeps me dependent upon the Holy Spirit. It keeps me desperate to see God transform lives. It keeps me connected with the heart of God. And it keeps my faith wild. Not with my own comfort and trusting God for whatever that makes me comfortable, but trusting God for souls to be saved. Amen. That's such a key for us to be connected to. That wildness, that how do we keep our faith wild, endure pain, which just tends to dull that faith, and to do the work of an evangelist. So it keeps our focus so healthy. Because guys, I don't mind hearing new things. Don't get me wrong. I like it. I like to learn stuff. I like to get new revelations from Scripture. Praise God. That will continue to happen until I see Jesus. Okay? We will continue to receive new revelation. But not at the expense, if it's stuff that's going to distract us from the core mandate that Christ has called us for. Amen. So it keeps our focus healthy. It keeps us connected with the heart of God. So my question is, where does that fit into our lives today? Where are we doing the work of an evangelist? Where are we stepping out? Where are we reaching out? Where are we praying for others? Where are we trusting God for lives to be transformed? My computer's gone to sleep. All right. Let's pray. Okay. No. Okay. Okay. He's resurrected. Then secondly, says invest in the young, invest in the next generation. Some of you are thinking, yeah, but I'm young. So what is somebody investing into me? Or but I think this, I want to say to you, I think if we get this thing, when we are young, it will be a lifestyle by the time that we are old, like me, or older. So invest in the young. And now, some of you may know that my father passed away a month ago, and it's been a really rough season for myself and for my family. And at this point, I really just want to thank everybody that's been praying for us as a family, and has been supporting us. It's times like this that you know that family is precious. We've experienced the blessing of spiritual family that just came around. around us, encouraged us, prayed for us, brought meals and help with children and whatever else. And I want to just honor and thank each of you and for your prayers and your support and your encouragement. It really means a lot. And I want to just thank you for that. And part of this tough season, and obviously there's been amazing memories. We had a really amazing time at the memorial service. And even there, it was an incredible opportunity to share the gospel. And you know, we were able to do that. We were able to share with some people that responded. And it's such a... And I was just humbled. Humbled through this whole season of the grace of God. Humbled by His presence and His grace that abounds and His comfort. It's real. But well, obviously there's a lot of admin that's happening now, and lots of stuff to process and lots of stuff to work through, and that's an ongoing process. And this yesterday I was sorting through some things for my dad, and there was some interesting things that comes up, some stuff that he's kept from his dad, and you know, some really interesting historical stuff, and some things that are a bit sentimental. Other things that bring funny and fun memories, and some things that you probably have to get rid of, you know, not even useful. But what I did see through all of this stuff, working through, I realized again that of all the stuff that there, the physical stuff, that when I think about what got my father left with us, it's mostly intangible. Yes, there's some things to sort out, but most of what he left with us is not tangible. Can't be put in a box, can't be stored away, can't be sold. It's stuff that he imparted to us, blessings that he left with us, experiences that we had with him. Amen? And I just, you know, just realized again that when we're investing in the next generation, are we focusing on the stuff that we can bless people with and the material things? Funny enough, we tend to do that. Or are we really deliberately thinking of ways that we can invest in others' lives in the intangible things? But those are the things that have eternal value often. Amen? The things where you can't put a monetary value to it, but an eternal value is incredible. So that, I want to start with that. I want to say, how are you and I, how are we being deliberate in investing in others' lives? We read, as Paul writes, he says, I've poured myself out as a drink offering. He's spent himself. He says, I don't have anything left. How are we spending ourselves into others' lives? Because that's what will bear eternal fruit. You know, when we do a memorial service or stuff like that, inevitably one thinks, what will people say about me when it's my turn? You know, maybe you're in a great career at the moment, or in a great position at work, or maybe you're experiencing great success in your studies or your grades or school, wherever you find yourself. I don't know if this is bad news. Maybe this is not a good thing to say during the exams. But in 20 years' time, you will not be able to remember your marks. And sadly, not many other people will know. Actually, make that 2 years. if you're in a good career now, and you're great, and you have a great position at a great company, and you make a move, you move companies, 20 years from now, this current company will not remember you. The chances are good. But what I do want to ask is, what will your children, or your spouse, or your close friends or family members, what will they say and remember about you in 20, 30, 40, 50 years' time? That really matters. Yeah? What are those things that we are imparting, and how are we being deliberate about it? Tanya and I chatted about this in the week, about how the Canadians, they're so deliberate, they, when they're planning, their family planning, you know, they make sure that they, Then the child needs to be born at a specific time in the year. Because if they get it right, they will be better positioned for their ice hockey career. Okay? Yes, it's the truth. So there are a couple of thoughts around this. Some say you have to be early, you have to be the oldest in your year group so that you can win. Because that's how it works. You get used to winning a lot. And then you get just into this winning culture, and then it continues. Some say no, you have to be born at the right stage in the year so that the season, the hockey season, works out so that you can play an extra season in the college or whatever the lower year, so that you can be faster and stronger and better, and that you can be noticed. And then they plan this stuff, right? That's hectic, eh? I'm just gonna say it's not that easy to plan the birth date of your child. Okay, I'm just throwing it out there. It's not a vending machine. I'm just saying, all right, guys. But how weird is it that we can be so deliberate about something like that, or about our career, or about our studies? But how deliberate are you and I about our investing into somebody else's life, whether it's discipling our children, our own children, or whether it's discipling somebody that's next door to me in res or my colleague? Deliberate are we being around that? How are we investing into the next generation? And in terms of generations, every generation is responsible for the transfer of the word and the gospel to the next generation. God does not send a new Bible every generation. Right? There's not a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't come again every generation. Amen? Our responsibility, and that is a couple of generations here represented. Your generation is responsible to make sure that the next generation receives the word. Not only receives it, but goes further and stronger and better and more full of faith and more full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? We can't just be happy with the next generation kind of being a similar place than we are. I trust God, and I, by the grace of God, I'm trusting that my absolute ceiling, the furthest that I can go physically and spiritually, will be the floor of my children. Will be their starting point. Amen? So that they can go further, and that they can be stronger in Christ. They can take the gospel further and reach more people than I could ever do. My ceiling would be there for. Are you with me this morning? But how are you and I being deliberate around that? I just want to look at a few basic things. Psalm 145:4 says, "One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." One of the absolute keys here is that praise is so important. How do we do this impartation? Specifically in the context of discipling children and the younger generation, or if you're working with youth, or you're working with, if you're working at children's church, if this is something that is a heavy thing for you, and if I every evening like, you know what, let's just read some scripture. Let's just get it over with before we go to bed. And we sit down and it's serious and it's heavy, and it's just the thing that we need just to get over with. And I tell them, listen, guys, don't do what I do, do what I say. Have you heard your parents say that? The guys, this is what the Bible says, and this is what God says, and this is why we do things. You recognize that this is not going to fly. Children are clever like that. They do what we do, and they don't necessarily do what we say. There's such a powerful dynamic of when you and I are exalting God through the way we live. Are praising Him, the way we conduct ourselves, not only verbally. If my children can see in my life that I'm full of praise, whether it be in this tough season, whether it be in a good season, whether it be when us moving countries and continents, how they observe and they recognize praising God. Amen. I love that about our time of prayer in the evenings, that 80% of our prayer is thanksgiving. And I believe that it means something to the children. And that is such a powerful dynamic, which whoever we are discipling, if it's just a dead religious transfer of information, do you see that there's going to be not a lot of life there, but there needs to be life and praise and exaltation of God in the way we conduct ourselves. All right, so that's number one. I have to skip a couple of slides just to make sure we have some time for ministry. Let's skip Ephesians. Sorry, do you like Ephesians? All right, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, from 2 and then 4. That you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Can you see the generations there? And this evening, when I'm talking about sons and grandsons, I realize that a bunch of you are not in that season yet, but think also doing the work of an evangelist, right? People that you are imparting to, people that you are sharing with, not necessarily your own physical children, but people that you're reaching out to, that kind of spiritual, those spiritual generations as well, okay? And then verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord our God, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. This speaks of this is not a Sunday thing. Can you see this? This is not sometimes on a Wednesday night at small group. This is every day. This is lifestyle. This is wherever we find ourselves, we are teaching and imparting what we have received. And we were so blessed that on both of these trips, these cycling trips, there were opportunities to minister to people. Christoph reminded me of the one time we were busy going down a downhill. This is probably the most hectic downhill of that race there in the Drakensberg. Great fun. Obviously, some bits that you are pleased and thankful to know that you're good with God. That if I go over this cliff, I know where I'm going, type of situation. But at one point, we were gunning it down this downhill, and obviously you reach quite a bit of speed down there. And then there was this, obviously you want to reach higher speeds because it's a race in the end. But there was this couple that was in front of us, and they were really going quite fast, but we wanted to go faster. So that was quite frustrating because it's difficult to pass somebody on a single track. So at one point, Christoph managed to get past, and then I was stuck behind him. I'm not that bold. Some would call it something else. But in any case, no, I'm just kidding. While I was sitting behind this couple, I recognized they had matching clothes and they had their names, and I realized, well, they're probably married. So I asked them, are you guys married? Any case, and then but it go quite fast, so it wasn't like we were chatting. But then while we were going down that steep mountain, the Lord gave me a word for them. It's like, oh, this is interesting. And then at one point they make some way for me, and I managed to go past, and then we ended quite a few minutes before them. And then I realized, okay, now I have to wait. I said to the guys, listen guys, just hang on there, just pray. I said, just wait here at the finish line. And it was really cool. Then they arrived. I just gave them a moment to catch their breath. And then and then I could share with them. But in the other race we did, there was also an opportunity with one of the guys that was one of the sports massage guys. Yeah, and while I was busy there being in pain, they say that, I don't know, massage is supposed to be a blessing. But those guys. That guy was just too strong. Eh? He was really... In any case, and the next day it's a blessing. But in any case, it was so amazing because just doing the thing, doing whatever you're busy with, being available to the Holy Spirit, being ready to hear. God wants to speak to people. this is what, for me, what this scripture talks about. Being, when you're rising up, when you're walking, when you're talking, when you're sitting down, by the way, when you lie down, whatever you're busy with, there's opportunity. Amen? How deliberate are you and I being in imparting life to others around us? In any case, both times people receive the words positively. Hallelujah. The massage guy, I was very wise though. I shared the word at the end. You know, because I was thinking if he doesn't receive it well, he's got his elbow here in the back somewhere, you know, that could go pear shaped. So I was just holding, I held on to the word to the end. I thought that was a wise move. In any case, praise God. All right, so let's go on. Let's skip Psalm 78. Actually, let's read Psalm 78. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and he appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. Powerful dynamic of that one generation to another. And if you find, if you first year here or studying, there's a generation that's next, there's a next year coming. If you're in res, when I was praying before, I felt there's some guys that are finishing off in res, but I believe there are still some divine appointments for you before you move out. If you're going to move, if you're moving out of a commune, I believe look out for divine appointments. Speak into somebody's life, encourage somebody, pray for somebody. God wants to minister to people. Amen. So that generation to generation dynamic is so powerful here. And guys, it's funny because if we look at education and we look at the way the world works these days, we tend to delegate the important. Couple of hundred and odd years ago, there weren't schools, right? But nowadays, we delegate education of our children. Delegate the important things. But I want to say to you, if you're planning on being a parent, you cannot delegate this authority, this responsibility that God has given us. As father specifically, it is our God-given anointing and responsibility to stand faithful to education of our children. Are you with me this evening? And for some of you, maybe it feels like it's still far off, but don't be that father that delegates that responsibility. I heard this great testimony last week of a pastor, and he was saying, talking about his own dad, and he was saying that his dad was a fitter and turner in a factory. I think it was in Joburg somewhere. And for the 42 odd years that he worked in that same place, which is amazing, every couple of months he would be approached by management saying, listen, we want to promote you, we see your potential, we see that you're a good leader and good with people, won't you consider coming into management or just taking this promotion? And he would ask some questions, he would ask questions about the time implications, he would ask questions about his hours, and he would just graciously decline. Because he had a conviction that his time, his first priority in terms of leadership was to lead his family well. He was at home at 4:30 every afternoon, and for 42 years he was in the same position because he declined any promotion. And some of us would say, that's completely crazy, you know, the Lord provides. You know, some would say, maybe he's not a good leader, but he chose lead his family. He chose, he made that conviction, this decision to say, this is the most important thing for me. Isn't that amazing? And he, you know, some of us maybe will disagree with that, but I was blessed with the fact that he made that decision based on the conviction. How are you and I being deliberate about saying, what's this important? And now, if you're not there in that season right now, how are you preparing yourself? How are you positioning yourself in this word, in the scripture, Bible school, encounter, whatever else? How are you preparing yourself for that? with me this evening? Okay, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. No? 31. What are your children and grandchildren are going to be remembering about you 50 years from now? Some of us 20. Okay, 11. When all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God, and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross, in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess. And that what he's talking about here is the dynamic of the, as we partner with the local church, our church family, not only to disciple our own children, but as we partner with church family to disciple others around us. So he says, not only is it something that you do in your rising up and your lying down, your lifestyle in your home, but it's also a very key dynamic with, as a church family together, we're discipling others. We're discipling not only our children, but we're reaching out. So he says, gather them together, everyone that's there, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of the law. And that the children, that those who have not known it, may also hear and learn. Isn't that amazing? So yes, there where it's something is poured through the cracks, when we come together as a community of faith, there's a powerful dynamic there that we partner with one another. So I want to encourage you, if you feel like you're doing this thing on your own and you know you're reaching out, but it's like you're all on your own in this, partner with your small group, get the guys to pray with you, let them go and pray at your workplace or at your faculty, at your res. Go and anoint those doors. Go and step out in faith with the guys that God has put around us. Amen. Such a powerful dynamic. You know, we used to do this in residence. I was studying. We used to pray most mornings. Trust God for salvation. Trust God for transformation. When we left there wasn't a lot of fruit. 2-3 years down the line, you could see it. There was one small group, and then a couple of years down the line, there were like 10. But there's such a dynamic of, yes, maybe I don't see the fruit right now, but am I taking hands with the family of faith around me to see the next generation being discipled? And if you're a parent, how is the small group involved? How are we taking hands with one another? And if I want to really encourage us, guys, our children's church is growing. We have incredible people serving a children's church. But if that's something that's on your heart, or even if it isn't, pray about it. That's, I don't know for you, about you, but every time I'm involved with children's church, I'm really challenged. To be blessed because I'm investing in the next generation. I'm growing a lot. My faith is being stretched. I'm learning a lot and I'm involved there. So I want to really encourage you. We need guys on the team for next year. We're sending out some people. So if you're not serving on a Sunday yet, please consider coming on a Sunday morning. Morning church is also blessed. Some of you have never tried morning church. I know 9:30 is really early, but pray about it. Amen? Okay, let's go on. We need to finish. All right, let's look at Deuteronomy 4. It's not, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. So he says, if we're going to be continuing to impart to others, we're going to be continuing to impart to our children and grandchildren or our colleagues and our housemates, etc., or our family, we need to watch for our own growth as well. I need to make sure that I'm walking a road of discipleship. I need to make sure that I'm growing in Christ. And, you know, often we say that if you stop learning today, you stop teaching tomorrow. How are you and I continually pursuing that walk of discipleship so that you and I can continue to grow, be stretched, and be encouraged, and be growing in our Christ-likeness so that we are continually able to impart to others? So I don't know about you, if you haven't been able to do Foundation or the Encounter series, or you haven't been able to get around to Bible school, pray about it. Trust God for provision. Guys, if you are struggling with finances and that's the reason why you can't do Bible school, please come and speak to me. I've got faith for that stuff. God is so good, guys. It's one of the things I believe. Missions and Bible school and stuff like that, you and I can stand in faith. God will make a way. But how are you and I taking heed of ourselves and diligently keeping ourselves? How are we diligently being discipled and positioning ourselves so that we are able to impart to the next generation? And what I had on my heart also is to say, okay, we're coming to the end of the year. Lots of you guys are, you know, all that's in your head is exams or work deadlines, stuff like that. But as things are getting quieter towards the end of the year, I want to throw this out and say, pray. Say, Lord, who are the people that I need to be investing in next year? Well, which relationships? Maybe there's new ones coming that we don't know yet, but pray about this, guys. Lord, who should I be deliberately investing into? Which of my colleagues are open? You know, sometimes it's so difficult for us to see who's ready. So ask God, who should I be spending time with? Who of my classmates should I be praying for these holidays? Maybe just sending a text here and there. I have found that when I ask God questions like that, always answers. Isn't that amazing? You know, sometimes we say, oh, I'm struggling to hear God. I don't know what God's will is. I'll tell you what, when I pray to God about people that I'm reaching out to, people on his heart, it's funny, but he always replies. There's such a desire for God to minister to those around us. Amen. So I want to encourage us. Let's pray. Who am I going to invest in next year? Who am I going to invite to outreach services early next year? Who am I going to be spending myself with? Yes, my own family, but even beyond that. All right, so let's stand this evening. We're going to pray. We're going to trust God to minister to us. And if there's we're really just going to spend some time in prayer now. And if you feel God's laying a word on your heart, I want to really encourage you to come forward. We want to really trust Holy Spirit that we minister to one another in the gifts of the Spirit. And the Lord speaks to all of us. So if you feel as we're worshiping now or as we're praying, if you feel God is giving you something to encourage somebody else with, I want to really ask you to be bold and to come to the front and share that. So as I close, I want to ask this. How are we keeping our faith wild? Are we fighting the good fight? Are we pushing the boundaries of what is possible? Are we extending our faith? Are we going to where it's uncomfortable? You know what? Most of the growth and most of the miracles happen out of our comfort zone, guys. In our comfort zone, there's not a lot that's happening. I just want to say to you, there's just comfort that's happening. Not much else. Not much growth. The wrong kind of growth. Physically, it also works like that. You know, that role model type growth happens. But how are we keeping our faith wild? Are we learning to endure? Are we doing the work of an evangelist? And are we investing in the next generation? Let's pray. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you for your presence in this place. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, that each of us standing here, each of us have a story, Lord, of how somebody else has invested into our lives. Each of us here can testify of somebody that's invested into our hearts, into our lives. Each of us here can, even to some extent, testify maybe of your grace in our lives. What a blessing, what a privilege that we have received something from the previous generation. And this morning, this evening, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that for a conviction. We thank you for urgency in our hearts that we would be good stewards, Lord, to impart life to the next generation, to impart grace and truth, passion and boldness, fearlessness to the next generation, whether it be the next year group in Res or a new colleague at work, but whether it be the next generation in terms of age. God, we trust in you this evening that you shift something in our hearts, God, in Jesus' name. God, we recognize that the world around us, it's all about comfort. It's all about working to a great retirement, sorting out my own rights and my own needs and my own desires and stuff that will make me more comfortable. This evening, in the name of Jesus, we say, Lord, give us the grace to fight the good fight of faith. Not to cruise down the path of least resistance, but to fight, to come against the stuff that is contending for our faith, that's contending for our generation, Lord. There's so much that is opposing life in our generation and the next, Lord. There's so much that wants to steal, kill, and destroy, even in our nation. It's not time to cruise, Lord. It's time to fight the good fight of faith. So this evening, Lord, in the face of so much chaos, even in our own nation, we ask that you would stir in our hearts an urgency, Lord. An urgency, Lord, and a boldness to fight the good fight. Receive that boldness. Holy Spirit, that you'd fill us afresh again this evening, Lord, with the power of your Spirit, the same power that rose Christ from the dead. Fill us afresh, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for grace, Lord, to endure afflictions, Lord, to learn to endure pain, to learn to work through offenses, to learn, Lord, to draw near to you in the difficult times. Thank you also for grace to do the work of an evangelist, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh God, we thank you for grace for our hearts to be connected, to stay connected for your heart. The word says that as Jesus looked upon the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. For they were weary and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. They were desperate need of a Savior. Oh, thank you, Lord, that we see in the life of Christ that not only was he moved with compassion, he was moved into action. And he ministered to them, he healed, and he delivered, and he saved to the uttermost, God. We trust right now this evening that you impart to us that grace, that we would be moved with compassion, moved into action, Lord, on behalf of those around us. And in response to your mandate, in response to your stirring in our hearts, God, in Jesus' name. That we would be able to say like Paul, that the love of Christ compels me, in Jesus' name. Father, we pray even these next weeks that you'd speak to us about people, about who we're going to be investing in next year. Lord, that you would start praying and we would start laying that foundation. And those of us that are ending off seasons right now, maybe at a workplace or in Res or ending off a season, we pray even now that you would grant us divine appointments, Lord, to minister your truth and your love. That we would finish strong, yes, finish strong in our studies, finish strong in our work, but Lord, that we would finish strong in the Spirit. And we would sow good seed in Jesus' name. Thank you for open ears and eyes to recognize opportunities to minister your love, your grace in Jesus' name. We open our hearts before you and say, Lord, fill us afresh with boldness and fearlessness and faith in Jesus' name. Let your kingdom come.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.